ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायमुदीरये। विदुर उवाच, विदुर सेड, संचिनः, कट ऑफ, संशयः, डाउट्स, मह्यं, अन्टु मी, तव, योर, सुख आसीना, बाय द वेपन ऑफ कन्विंसिंग वर्ड्स, Vibho, O my Lord, Upayatra api, both in God and in the living entity, Bhagavan, O powerful one, Manaha, mind, me, my, Sampratavati, perfectly entering. Translation. Vidura said, O powerful sage, my Lord, all my doubts about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities have now been removed by your convincing words. My mind is now perfectly entering into them. Please repeat. Vidura said,
O powerful sage,
my Lord, all my doubts about the Supreme Personality of Godhead
and the living entities
have now been removed by your convincing words. My mind is now perfectly entering into them. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The science of Krishna, or the science of God and the living entities, is so subtle that even a personality like Vidura has to consult persons like the sage Maitreya. Doubts about the eternal relationship of the Lord and the living entity are created by mental speculators in different ways. But the conclusive fact is that the relationship of God and the living entity is one of the predominator and the predominated. The Lord is the eternal predominator, and the living entities are eternally predominated. Real knowledge of this relationship entails reviving the lost consciousness to this standard, and the process for such revival is devotional service to the Lord. By clearly understanding from authorities like the sage Maitreya, one can become situated in real knowledge, and the disturbed mind can thus be fixed on the progressive path. Viduruvacha sanchina sangshayo mayam tava suktasina vibho ubayatrapi bhagavan manome sampradavati sampradavati. Vidura said, O powerful sage, my Lord, all my doubts about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities have now been removed by your convincing words. My mind is now perfectly entering into them. This is such an exemplary pastime. It's a section of the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in which Vidura, who is a pure devotee of the Lord, who had left his family life because there was such stress in the family. They were on opposite sides when it came to the Pandavas. Vidura was a great supporter of the Pandavas, and Duryodhan, who was in his family, was vehemently opposed to them. And during an altercation inside the palace, they lived in a royal situation, Duryodhan had so much insulted Vidura that he left. He left home for good. It wasn't that he just left in a huff and he thought about coming back a few hours later, calling the cell phone and said, oh, I'm saying we'll come back. He was done. He was absolutely finished. But the reason that he was absolutely finished was that he had been preparing for this his whole life. The pure devotee is always thinking and planning. Even though I may not be able to execute completely my desire now for pure devotional service, from whatever situation I'm in, I'm making the best plans and preparations to be ready for that situation when it comes. And when it does come, the Lord makes it obvious, as he did to Vidura, who, upon hearing the very cutting words of Duryodhan and threats to his very life in his own home, felt that the Lord was acting. His internal energy was giving him an opening to walk out and say, that's it. This is a glorious day for any living entity when he or she comes to this point of realizing that it's not worth it. The material world is simply hard struggle for nothing. There are ways in which devotees talk about the bad masters of the material world and how I've been serving them for so long. I haven't quoted this verse for ages, but Kamadinam katina katida palita durnideshas tesham jata mayina karuna natrapa no pashanti utsri jayatanata yarupate samprata labda buddhis tamayata sharanam abhayam am yungshva madasye. For how long and how many ways have I served the bad masters of my senses and lust, anger, greed? And I've never questioned them. I've never even considered that I was serving them so attentively. But they've never given me mercy, and they never gave me time off. They simply demanded, and I gave into their demands, but no more. I quit. I'm no longer serving them. I'm going to transfer my service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Utsri Jayatanata Yarupate Samprata Labdha Buddhis. My intelligence has awakened. Labdha Buddhi, I've gained my intelligence. As Krishna says in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you must gain this kind of spiritual intelligence in order to be victorious in the war against the lower self. It's a war against the lower self against the higher self. So he says, Evam buddhi param buddhva samstabhyatmanamatmana jahi shatrum mahabaho kamarupa durasadam. Kamarupam durasadam. That this, stand up and fight. Develop your spiritual intelligence. And understanding what should be done and what should not to be done. What's in your best interest and what's not in your best interest. Tatvavittu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo. Guna guneshu vartanta iti matvana sajite. Krishna says in the Gita, one who is tattvavit, he knows the truth. He knows that which is real and that which is unreal. Acts doesn't act for sense gratification because he knows it's a waste of time. He acts for his higher interest in life, which is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in preparation and always being ready for this, even though it may not seem readily available to escape the clutches of lust, anger, greed, of the circumstances that I'm born into. If I'm always preparing and I'm taking all the steps necessary, then Krishna will present that opportunity. And he did to Vidura. And the internal energy acted and the external energy acted simultaneously. How's that? When Duryodhan uttered these harsh words towards Vidura, Vidura felt Lord Krishna's opening the door for me now to leave home and dedicate myself exclusively to him. And on the other side, Duryodhan was creating a great offense because he was actually in Mahamaya. He was absorbed in the external energy of the Lord because he had no desire to serve Krishna, the opposite. He was becoming Krishna's enemy and the enemy of his devotees. So he was in Mahamaya. We read last night how when Maya appears, she's Krishna's internal energy, but she also acts externally. Ajopi san avyayatma, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, by my internal potency. These things are interchangeable, internal, external potency. They're Krishna's energies, so they can act according to the desire of the living entity or the situation of the living entity. So Vidura then left and went on pilgrimage, which is always a relief, just to be on your own. When Sanatan Goswami left his duties in the government, he was thrown in jail, first of all, because the king didn't like it that he was just had summarily quit his job. And he said, either keep your duties or go to jail. Does this ever happen at Intel or Oracle? It's always something harsher in the material world. Nowadays, people come to their work, and then there's a policeman standing there and say, pick up your stuff and get out. You got 5 minutes, and then you just leave. That's the material world, in essence. Corporate life is hell. Not really. I mean, it's actually a place for massive book distribution. But in any case, it is a bitter place, the material world. And this internal energy worked. Vidura, I was saying, Sanatana Goswami, when he left, he couldn't go by the ramparts. He got out of prison by bribing the prison guard and also flattering him that you're such a learned scholar and everything. And here's some gold. And here's an excuse how I got away and everything. He said, okay. He finally relented and let him go. And then he was a political prisoner. He couldn't show his face, so he had to sneak through the city. And then he took his servant. They went up through the mountain passes. They went to an inn. He almost got killed there because the innkeeper had an astrologer who could tell that Sanatan was carrying gold coins. He wasn't, but his servant was. And then Sanatan asked his servant, oh, you're carrying some gold coins? Yes, I am. He said, give them over. Give them to me. He gave them to the innkeeper who said, oh, I'm so glad you did this. First he said, I won't take them. Sanatan said, if you don't take them, somebody else will. So you should take it. And then he said, I was planning to kill you for these gold coins. It's so sinful. And then he had mentioned that he had 8 gold coins. And then Ishana, his servant, had given him 7 gold coins. This is the way of the material consciousness. Like, just let me hold on to some little thing. Even though it's endangering my life, I just like, I gotta hold on, I'll take the risk. It's people take risks all the time. They go across borders and they try to smuggle something. Prahlad Maharaj talks about this. He said, money is so sweet. The taste of it is so sweet in the material world that people risk their lives for it. People have jobs where they go underwater and they do welding. It's a very dangerous job, so you get paid a lot of money. You can die at any time. People join the military as mercenaries, and they go out, and nowadays, from any direction, you can be blown up. But because the money is so sweet, and I'll exchange my whole life working hard because the feeling of getting that paycheck, I guess, it's so nice, so sweet. It means, in the material world, it means now I can perceive some freedom, some happiness, and so forth. So everyone tries to hold on to the last minute. And Sanatan Goswami said, Ishana, I believe you have one last coin. He said, yes, I do. He said, take the coin, go back home. And Sanatan went off by himself. Now he was past the city, past the foothills, and he was all by himself, apparently. But really, this feeling that now I'm simply depending on Krishna, that's real freedom. Now I'm giving everything, my life and soul, nothing held back. Once one has this feeling that nothing held back, everything for Krishna, full surrender. In whatever situation, it doesn't mean you have to walk away from your job and house and family. Not recommended prematurely. These things come of their own accord. But the resolution within one's heart that I'm giving everything to Krishna, come what may. Once one has that, one's actually free from the encumbrances of material desire and the weightiness of the material world that holds us down, that drowns us as we're trying to escape the material world. And Sanatana Goswami went off towards Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's going towards something. Narupamasye hatato palabhyate nanto nachadir nacha sampratishta ashvatamenam suvarudamulam asanga shastrena jidhena chitva tat padam tat parimargitavyam yasmin gatana nivartanti puya tameva chadyam purusham prapadye yatak pravriti prashita purani. Krishna says you're in an entanglement in the material world. There's a huge entanglement and impossible to get out of it, but try to cut down this tree that you're entangled in with the strong weapon of detachment. And then make your pathway. Make your journey towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Try to go, try to find Krishna. Try to find the spiritual world, that place from which we've all come, where you have a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the feeling, Sanatana Goswami, breaking away from his previous obligations and going towards the real obligation one has in life, which is to find out the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender to him. Anyone who's doing any work, we think of Akrura when he went to Vrindavan. All the way there, he's meditating on how I'm doing a horrible work, actually. I'm going there on behalf of Kamsa, who's Krishna's enemy, to bring Krishna back, full well knowing that Kamsa's idea was to kill Krishna. He told him, this is, go get him, bring him back. We got this elephant, we got wrestlers, we got everything. Somehow or other, we're going to get that kid. And Akura, on the way there, was thinking, I'm doing this, but Krishna knows my heart. He knows I'm a pure devotee. He knows that my only desire in life is to serve him. And he had it fixed in his mind what it would be like when he got there, how he would fall down and offer his obeisances to Krishna and Balaram, how they would put their lotus hand on his head, and how he would feel such relief of just being there in their presence. And this is the impetus of the devotee. Even as one's engaged in some kind of work that seems contrary to one's nature or even to spiritual life, one's internal determination that I'm going to go towards Krishna, I'm going to surrender to Krishna, that is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Break away from the material world and go and surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead. You do that. And if you try to surrender to anybody else in the material world, you'll be disappointed. Can't help you. Even if they're good-hearted, they still can't help you. Krishna's all-powerful and all-merciful. If he was all-merciful but not all-powerful, what could he do? But if he's all-powerful and not all-merciful, watch out. And in the material world, there's people that are very powerful but they're not all-merciful. There are people that are merciful but not all-powerful. But Krishna is both of those. And that's why in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Sarva dhanaman parityaja mame kam sharanam braja. Ahang tvang sarva papi bhyo mokshay shami masucha. Confidently, he says, just surrender unto me. I'll take care of everything. I'm good for it. Don't worry about it. Just surrender to me. This is what gives the devotee the impetus to move forward in life despite all the obstacles, despite the horrible work one has to engage in during this lifetime as an obligation because of one's past activities and the momentum that carries one into this life, is this desire that Krishna will see my sincerity within my heart, that I, my only purpose is to surrender, that I'm walking the path of surrender. So in that process, in the taking that path, one does not go alone. It's not possible to go this process alone. One has to take shelter of devotees. One has to learn the art of how to take help from the Vaishnavas. This is the essence of advancement in spiritual life. How to get the mercy of the advanced devotees. And in this verse, I've always been struck by this first sentence in the purport. I noted it many years ago when I read this section. I come back to it again and again. Prabhupada writes in the first line of this purport, the science of Krishna, or the science of God and the living entities, is so subtle that even a personality like Vidura has to consult persons like the sage Maitreya. So Vidura was wandering, and his only purpose was to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, going to all the holy places. And then, by the Lord's arrangement, Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, God gives the Guru, and Guru gives God. And it always happens because Krishna's attentively noticing my desire in my heart. What does this living entity want? And when he sees there's even a molecule of desire for approaching him for inquiring about the Supreme Absolute Truth. Atato Brahma Jignasa, asking this supreme question, what's the purpose of my life? Rather than being engaged in all the pettiness of the material world, then Krishna makes an arrangement for that living entity to meet somebody, to meet a devotee who can impart knowledge unto that inquiring soul. So that's what happened with Vidura as he was wandering. First, he met Uddhava. And the way that Krishna makes plans is always beyond our imagination. As my friend Dhanadhar Swami said recently, that we're playing chess in a game of chess with Krishna, and he's 10 billion moves ahead of me. And so he's making all these arrangements. And there's a way in which Krishna, contemplating leaving the world, sat by himself in a lonely place in the forest. He was leaning up against a young banyan tree, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, indicates that this material world is, this particular universe that we're in is kind of small compared to the other ones. We're in a small size universe. And he had his left foot leaning over his right knee and leaning back in a casual mood, contemplative mood. And Uddhava couldn't bear separation from him, so he followed him into the forest. And soon afterwards, Maitreya, by the force of Ajñāta Sukriti, Prabhupada says, how could you possibly be walking in the forest and then come across Krishna and Uddhava sitting there? That's the 10 billion moves ahead Krishna has. But that's Ajñāta Sukriti, Prabhupada said, unknown pious credits, spiritually based pious credits that one has. Somehow or other this happens. Nothing happens by chance, we read yesterday in the Bhagavatam. And then Krishna began to speak to Uddhava. Maitreya was there and listened to the whole thing. And this description is so sweet that Krishna is there speaking, and Maitreya leaned into it. He had his left shoulder down. Try it. When you listen in like this. You lean forward. This is called Upanishad. You lean in. It's like, I really want to hear this. I don't want to miss one syllable of what the person's saying, because the desire to advance in spiritual life is so intense. And intuitively, one knows that I've met a person who can actually deliver the truth to me. When that happens, then one's spiritual life begins to expand rapidly. When one has that faith, one meets a person, think, this person is authorized, this person has performed the austerities, this person has taken knowledge from his or her spiritual master, I'm going to lean in. I'm going to sit up close. I'm going to hear everything I possibly can. And this was the scene there with Krishna speaking to Uddhava. And what a poignant scene it was, that Krishna's getting ready to leave the planet. And Uddhava is feeling separation, even though he's sitting right in front of Krishna. And Maitreya, the great sage, has been sent there for a purpose, so that he could subsequently meet with Vidura and then instruct him. So one of the subtle instructions that's given in this section is that after Uddhava was given his orders to go to Bhadarika Ashram to instruct the sages there about the very intimate science of devotional service, because Uddhava had seen for himself by going to Vrindavan and hearing from Krishna about the highest level of devotional service. He knew about it. He could teach it. And Krishna wanted him to stay in the world even after he'd left and propagate that science, especially to the great sages who were residing at Bhadarika Ashram. So that was his duty given to him by Krishna. And he was on his way there, and Maitreya had also decamped. And when Vidura met Uddhava, there's a very deep conversation in which Vidura begins to inquire from Uddhava about family matters, the situation at Prabhas had already happened, where there was a massacre of the family members. They killed each other by Krishna's arrangement. And he inquired as if they were still alive, even though he knew they weren't. And this was a psychological matter that Srila Prabhupada mentions. He didn't want to bring it up, the fact that they had all killed one another. And then he began to ask about Krishna and the science of Krishna consciousness. And Uddhava had to pull himself back into his body, so to speak, because there's a way in which when a devotee advances in Krishna consciousness, of course, it's not that Uddhava advances, he's an eternal associate of the Lord, but this example is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that as one waters the seed of devotion within one's heart, Shravana Nijal, it grows and it penetrates the universe. Actually, Mam Chayo Vyabhicharina Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samatityaitan Brahmabhuya Yakalpate. There's a way in which when one fully dedicates oneself to devotional service, one rises above the three modes of material nature and comes to Brahman. And poetically, metaphorically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes this process of gardening, that you're watering a seed, and the seed then comes alive with the watering process and begins to grow, and as it grows, it penetrates all the coverings of the material. These vines are very aggressive. I have several in my yard, and I just leave them alone for 2-3 days, and they come back and say, "How'd you get way over here?" And they're like, "That's what I do. I'm a vine." I mean, they really go for it. Wisteria are relentless. If you just let a wisteria go, it'll tear your house down. Literally. They'll just like grab the house and like that, because they're so determined and strong. That's the metaphor of the creeper is apt. And this creeper grows up determinedly through the layers of the material world, leaves everything else behind by the impetus of spiritual sound, and comes to the spiritual world and entwines itself on Krishna's lotus feet. The person, the practitioner, then is living in this world practically with body, mind, appears to be an ordinary person, but actually has that connection to the spiritual world at the same time. Dual citizenship, which a lot of people in Britain wish they had right now. There's this way in which when Vidura inquires from Uddhava, he has to rest his mind away from the spiritual world, come to his present physical condition, so that he can now articulate the absolute truth. A very powerful section which shows how pure devotees actually live in this world without touching it. They're moving in this world, but as Rupa Goswami says, "Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikila api avastastu jivan mukta suchite." This is called the liberated soul. Everything is engaged in Krishna's service. And therefore, that person, although in an apparently ordinary body and with an apparently ordinary mind, is a liberated soul, even while living iha, in this world, in this body. Kaina manasa budhya kevalerindriyarapi yogina karma kurvanti sangam tyakvat mashudhaye. This is how the devotees work in this world. They use the body, the mind, the words, everything, but only for the purpose of purification. So this coming together of Vidura and Uddhava by the Lord's arrangement is very powerful. And in summary form, Uddhava tells all the pastimes of the Lord to Vidura. If you want to read the whole 10th canto of Bhagavatam very quickly, you can read those instructions that Uddhava gives to Vidura, remembering the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Vidura offers himself as a disciple, "Please instruct me." But Uddhava defers to Maitreya. This is one of the subtleties of the spiritual science that Prabhupada's mentioning here, how subtle it is, that one has to have the proper decorum when dealing with devotees. And Uddhava, even though he was the most advanced devotee on the planet, and Maitreya was not in the same category of pure devotion as Uddhava, still, Uddhava said, approach Maitreya. He's senior to me. He's senior to me. And this is Maryada Vitikrama. One should not step over the etiquette when dealing with devotees. One should maintain the etiquette. Pradyumna Prabhu tells a story about when he was sitting with Prabhupada in a room in a darshan, and he was just slightly in front of one of his godbrothers. Prabhupada noticed it, and he said, "You're sitting in front." He said, "He's your da. He's your senior." He was a senior devotee to him. He said, "He's your da." He said, "You shouldn't sit in front." He was only a little bit in front. So the subtlety that I'm noticing, that I'm offering respect to the devotees, I'm offering respect to my senior. Don't panic, anybody. It's okay. Get a measuring tape out. But these are not to be taken pedantically. They're not to be taken in a mechanical way, but one should feel like that. One should feel that I'm showing respect to the senior devotees, show respect to all devotees, some from a distance and some from up close, according to their qualification and the way in which they're situated in one's life. And so the other reason that Uddhava could not accept Vidura's request to instruct him at that time fully was because he had another instruction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he had to fulfill that by going to the Bhadarik Ashram. So Vidura went and met Maitreya, and here we have the discussion between Vidura and Maitreya. Vidura asking many, many different questions. He begins by asking questions more related to the interaction of the living entity to the material world. This is called Sambandhagyan. He could have asked him many questions about the topics that were discussed in the round with Krishna and Uddhava and so forth, but he begins in a very fundamental way for thoroughness and for the benefit of people in the world who are going to hear this conversation later. And here again, Srila Prabhupada writes, "The science of Krishna or the science of God and the living entities is so subtle that even a personality like Vidura has to consult persons like the sage Maitreya." So this is a clue of how to advance in spiritual life, that we should be looking to consult with those who are more advanced in Krishna consciousness, who can help us. And Krishna gives this jewel of a verse. Of course, they're all jewels of verses, but this one is particularly brought forward in the explaining how one advances in spiritual life. In 434, "Tadvidi pranipatena priprashnena sevaya uparakshantite jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha." So the three words here, important from the verse, "Tadvidi pranipatena pranipatena pranipatena." So it comes, the root word is put, which means by humble submission, put. Everyone say put. Put. That's the root word word pranipatena. And it means by humble submission. So this learning the spiritual science, first of all, requires some submission. That one must consider, submit means I'm down here, this person's up here. The knowledge flows down. The mercy flows down. And if one keeps oneself up here, above everybody else, you don't get anything. It doesn't flow up, it flows down. So submit. Become submissive to those who have advanced in Krishna consciousness. This is the first jewel that one can take from this verse. And the second one is the word prach. Tadvidi pranipatena priprashnena sevana. Prach is the root word, which means by inquiry, one has to inquire. And inquiry is not always easy. I notice sometimes if you ask people, do you have any questions? Like if you're just talking to somebody, do you have any questions? It's almost an affront. It's like, I don't know. I didn't come with any questions. I don't know what to say. The inquiring mood has to be cultivated. One really has to do intense sadhana in order to come up with questions. One has to hear and chant very deeply. And I've always noticed that in very intense hearing and chanting circles, the devotees come out with more questions than answers. They come out hungry. They're like, well, yeah, but what about that? What about this? What about that? When you know everything, it's like, yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it. You're not in the mood of prutch. You're not inquiring. You have to have that mood that, what's the next thing? How can I make it to the next level? How can I move forward? How can I do more service? And in the intensity of one's practice of devotional service, valid questions arise within the heart. They're gifts. The questioning mood is a gift. There's a way in which Krishna rewards us for our intense concentration on our practice of devotional service by giving us good questions. And when you have a good question, then you're looking for somebody all the time in the environment who can answer it. And there's an intuitive sense when you start to hear somebody speak and you go like, that person can answer it. Like, there are various kinds of questions also that you may have, and various kinds of advanced devotees may be able to answer those particular questions. But we should be hungry, always hungry, prutch. It means always be in that mood of thinking how to find out how to improve my service, how to make it better. And Prabhupada mentions that when he first came to America, or even before then, when he was trying to fulfill the orders of his spiritual master, that there were so many obstacles. It's unbelievable how many obstacles there were. And Prabhupada said, when you find yourself in that situation, you have to make this inquiry over and over again. How can I do? How can I do? How can I do? He said, if you keep that mood of submissive inquiry going, then Krishna will fulfill your desires. He's fulfilling everyone's desires, but most people are asking for stupid stuff. Like, cats are thinking about cat food all day. They're like, how can I get some cat food? Look at, cat food is junk, you know? I mean, what we want, atato brahma jignasa, ask for the highest thing. Don't be in cat consciousness. Cat food you can get anywhere. Can you just eat a mouse and forget about it? But hone your sense for inquiry, which is it's a natural part of the human psyche to inquire. But you have to refine it. It has to be so strong and so focused that my inquiry is moving me forward at every step. And I'm so absorbent because of my inquiring mood. I'm open. I'm looking every place, and I can go over the basics again and again. I can read Bhagavad Gita or Sri Upanishad and see something new in it because my inquiring spirit is so strong that I need to know. I have to know. One has to become greedy, greedy, hungry to know the truth and ask. And then when one meets somebody who's imbibed the knowledge so completely through study, through surrender, through submission and service, one will see that in the person and say, I have to go there. I have to be there. This is the kind of mood that is mentioned in Rupa Goswami's verse where he says, Krishna bhakti ras bhavito mati kriyato yari kritopi labhyate tataloliam api mulyam ekalam janmakoti sukritirna labhyate. He said that you can only get Krishna bhakti by intense greed to have it. That's the only way you're going to get it. You have to want it more than anything else. That's how to know that one's advancing in spiritual life. Here's A, cat food. Here's B, spiritual life. One has to develop this intense desire that I want this advancement in spiritual life. That's tatalolium, greed to have it. I have to have this more than anything else. Everyone knows what greed's like. Even kids, you know, they during the holiday season, they're praying, they can't sleep at night because they're thinking, I have to have that little toy. And then, you know, they're fully consumed. Everyone has it. And then there's romantic relationships. The man can't stop thinking about the woman. Woman can't stop thinking about the man. And Rupa Goswami says, Yuvatinam yata yuni yuvam cha yuvatau yata manobiramate tadvan maname ramatam tvayi. Just like that, he said. Just like the lovers are thinking each other. No one can separate them. No one can stop them from texting all night long, whatever they do. He's like, are you going to go to bed? Yeah, just a minute, I'll go to bed. They can't stop thinking. He said, just like that, let my mind be attracted to be inquiring about Krishna. That's advancement. That was the situation when Vidura came together with Uddhava and when Vidura came together with Maitreya. Therefore, it was fruitful. Therefore, we have the most exalted of conversations taking place because these two souls, as Prabhupada said, one was potent and the other one was fully inquisitive. So then the real spiritual combustion takes place when that happens. So prach, you have to have that inquiring spirit in order to be successful. And if you have that, you'll see in all devotees, even new devotees, you'll see something that you can glean that is for your benefit, advancing in devotional service. And you show respect to all not just all devotees, but all living entities. Because you see Krishna's presence there teaching you something from every situation. That's really the essence of the verse, Tate Anukampam Susumikshamana, that the devotee becomes so desirous of advancing in spiritual life, there's nothing else that's important, and therefore the world becomes a place of learning about Krishna at every moment. Even the adversities, especially the adversities, that the devotee embraces as an opportunity to come closer, to refine this subtle desire to know Krishna within the heart. And then the third jewel in the verse is sevaya, that one has to have by service. All these are in the instrumental case, pratipatina, pripreshnina, sevaya, which means by service, by inquiry, by humble submission. That's how you advance in devotional life. So the service means when you're overwhelmed with appreciation for what the person has and has become, then you naturally do some service, and from that service, one gets the blessings of that Vaishnav. And that Vaishnav will open his or her heart, and the contents will pour out to you. The contents will pour out. That is the system. So important. Meeting devotees and learning to take help from them, that Baladeva Bidyabhusan, in his commentary to Vedanta Sutra, in the first verse, what is the first verse of the Vedanta Sutra, please? Tato Brahma Jignasa. So now is the time to inquire. He mentions in his commentary in many varied ways, many and varied ways, that the prerequisite, the normal prerequisite for understanding the Vedas, which means that you have to go to the Gurukul. How many here went to Gurukul, by the way? Okay. And you have to study the Vedic sounds under a spiritual master in a very isolated circumstance and dedicate your whole life in this way, celibacy. All these kinds of things are requirements for coming into the realm of Vedic knowledge. He says that if one meets an advanced devotee and surrenders him or herself to that devotee, then these prerequisites are waived. You can waive these prerequisites, these normal, very aesthetically oriented prerequisites, by this one fell swoop of meeting a devotee, knowing how to recognize a devotee, and submitting oneself in the mood that Krishna has put forth in the Bhagavad Gita. And That's all I'm going to say for right now, and I'll just take a few reflections. Yes. Here come the microphones.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I had a question. We were talking about seniority. So what factors are to be considered while when recognizing someone's seniority?
How yeah, this comes up in the Chaitanya Charitamrita because now I'm trying to remember the specifics names, but there's an instance in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu notes that the son is more advanced than the father by dint of his intensity of devotional service, and he brings this point out. So Shukadeva Goswami was 16 years old when he came into an assembly of sages, including his father, Vyasadeva. And, I mean, who's better than Vyasadeva, right? And everyone's there. Narada's there. Everyone. It's a who's who. And they all stood up for Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Why? He's self-effulgent. And this is something that you have to see it to understand it, the self-effulgence of somebody who's actually dedicated to spiritual life. That's why it's a subtle science. If someone's controlling their senses, Krishna says in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, they become dear to everyone, and everyone becomes dearer than them. As somebody who's fully dedicated, even behind closed doors, develops a kind of potency that is unmistakable. And such a person becomes effulgent. And naturally, people want to inquire. I notice sometimes when devotees give class, like in Mayapur, different places, you know, it's like a big event. Everyone's there to like, for the spontaneous combustion to happen. Especially if they have some inkling that the person has some deep realization. And what I always like to see is the aftermath. It's like, as soon as the class breaks up, you're like, 20 people rush the speaker to standing around. It's like, yeah, what else? You know, some of them are just looking and say, I just want to see the person. You know, they're just looking at him. You're like, how'd you do that? and there's this spontaneousness to this understanding of how somebody's advancing. Somebody, by dint of their service and surrender, becomes known as advanced. So this is taken into account, but advanced devotees also consider the etiquette. Even their senior devotees are there. They're careful about not overstepping even the so-called worldly consideration of who's more advanced than others. But naturally, those who are doing more service and who are more advanced are generally, they emerge. Emerging markets. Emerging pure devotees. Who is next? Everyone raises their hand. Okay, go ahead.
I was just thinking how even in the material world, if we learn, if we want to develop a skill, everybody wants to have a mentor, and it's a blessing to have a mentor. And what a blessing to have a pure devotee to take you back to Godhead and to solve all the problems. It's one thing that all the prerequisites are waived if you surrender to a pure devotee, but the next thing that happens, which is more important, is that Prabhupada says this when Brahma pacifies Lord Shiva after the Daksha whole thing happened. Prabhupada says that people who do bad things are already killed by their own karma. But pure devotees try to bring them out of that. So that gives lots of hope, because by nature we are inclined to commit mistakes. But by surrendering to a devotee, they give the knowledge and mercy by which we can come out of that and get situated in the right place. So I think before, after, middle, it's a good idea to always be in the association of devotees and take their guidance, especially pure devotees.
Yeah, these are excellent points, and I'd like to endorse them fully, that this idea of taking shelter of mentors is good anywhere. It works everywhere. Those who are intelligent learn how to find out the experts in their field. Even motivational speakers who know what they're talking about will put this point forward. Brian Tracy always talks about it. He said, you want to learn something, find the people who are really good at it. They're already realized in their field. take him to lunch. You know, just be around him. Just find out how to be, do. He's saying the same thing. Tadvidi pranipati. Do some service. Be submissive. How can I help you? And that's the expedited path. You get association. It's something amazing. It's something like a download. You just like, okay, give me the firewire, plug it in, and there's something being downloaded when one comes into the association of people and one has an open heart and is doing. But when you get into the realm of pure devotees, the Shastra is saying, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy, lava, sarva shastra hoy, lava matra, sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. The Shastra is all saying, all the Shastras say, that just by this connection with pure devotees, you get advancement. I have a godbrother who has sort of disappeared from sight for a long time, but he was associating with advanced devotees, but nobody kind of knew where he was for a long time. I remember he came back and gave a class in Los Angeles. He was a senior devotee, a leader for some time, and his class was like very powerful. And everyone was kind of amazed. It's like, I thought you were like dead or fallen or something like that. You know, I mean, that's what they were all thinking. And he told me, they don't know who I've been associating with. They don't know the kind of association I had. And I saw it. It's like, he kept good association, even though he was a little out of sight. But he came out swinging. And he got back in the ring. It's like, whoa, where'd you get that power? He's like, I'm getting it from my association. And if you can do that, and it's an art, really, you have to give up pride, and you have to give up enviousness. When you're not envious of people's advancement, especially of those who are close to you, like God brothers, God sisters, those in your same realm, it's easy to think like, God, I wish they'd fail, or I wish. I mean, that's pretty gross, but you know, there's subtle ways, and it's like, well, it's not that great. You know, Prabhupada tells the story of three friends grew up together. One of them became a high court judge. And the two other friends, who are slackers, got together and one was saying, did you know about Raj? He became a high court judge. And he goes, no way, not Raj. He never became a high court judge. No, I saw him. He's in there and he's in the court. He's wearing the robes, he's got the gavel, he's doing the whole thing. And the other guy says, well, he's probably not getting paid. I mean, just anyway, envy has this way of kind of like, anything but that. I don't want to hear about somebody advancing in devotional service. The way to advance is to give that up, abandon it, appreciate, grinati, take it in that there are people more advanced, take it in that everyone's more advanced than me. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, trinata pisini chena, torora apisahishnuna. Take the lowest position in whatever situation, then you're down there to drink what's coming down to you. Otherwise, you're going to miss it all. You miss everything. You block it all out by pride and envy. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj, very much for today's class. What I was thinking is, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, the stories which you discussed today, we just read it, there is a conversation going on. And then, okay, there's a conversation. The intensity or the beauty or the importance, I don't get it. But when you transported us today in your conversation, how Krishna was standing there, you could really feel, first thing was the importance, but then the intensity that in the love through which we can really be there. So just wanted to thank you for that, because I do not have that capability, but what I enjoyed was this class. I just pray that I continue to hear more and more.
We have a very special circumstance. And while I'm talking, please pass the mic back to Srivas Pandit, because he's got something to say. And then that is that we have an association of Vaishnavas. This is the most important and valuable of all our assets, is the association of Vaishnavas. And it's such a rarefied atmosphere to be around those who have a desire to attain pure devotional service. And Prabhupada writes in one letter to a devotee. Prabhupada's letters are so encouraging. I mean, it's unbelievable. If you read all his letters, you see one after another, encourage, 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 because he sees the potential for every person to advance in this process of devotional service. If you're just hanging around and you're not offensive, you're going to advance in devotional service. What to speak of you, apply yourself. And the sweetest encounters are with devotees when somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, you can be in advanced association and you could take advantage of it. And this is a good prayer to put out while chanting one's rounds of japa. Krishna, please give me the best of association, and please give me, empower me to take full advantage of it. Those two things. If you can just put before me the best of association somehow or other, and let me be able to take advantage of it by being non-envious, by being deeply appreciative of the mercy they've gotten, and let me serve them, and let me inquire from them. Empower me to ask the right questions so that I could advance, and to be appropriately submissive before them, so I don't block their way, but I'm there in a mood of service. This is a powerful prayer, and Krishna will fulfill that prayer. And as he does, we advance in devotional service. This is the real spiritual capital. It's not what you know, it's who you know and what you are. Gopi Pranandana Prabhu used to say. Srivas Pandit Prabhu.
Earlier you were mentioning about that when there is chanting and hearing going on, you come away with more questions than answers. And that's why usually my feeling when we have the Bhakti Vaibhava sessions on Sunday morning, we have so many questions that, you know, the devotees make me feel I'm a complete fool. So I just go back and then do research, or they do research, and then we have such an amazing, insightful discussions into Bhagavatam. So I just wanted to highlight that point.
Yeah, and that is the process for advancing in spiritual life, is to come together in these circles and discuss and ask questions and have somebody answer the questions, and it goes on and on. I mean, read in the prayers by personified Vedas, and it's framed three different ways. The Narayan Rishi discussing, then there's the four Kumaras. They're all having asking the same question. How is it that the spiritual sound vibration can come to the living entity through the material apparatus in the material world? How does that all happen? And we're hearing from the discussions of the most advanced devotees what to speak of incarnations of God. We're sitting there talking about it. And to be in on those conversations is possible. That's the miracle of revealed scripture. You can actually be in on that conversation, that level of discussion, interrogative, that's going on between the most advanced devotees and God, who gets to hear him speak and answer questions. And the pure devotees, even more importantly, because they have love for God, and they can talk about what it's like to be in love with God and how they got like that. That's the culmination of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. When Gopa Kumar is going through the various places in the universe, meeting all kinds of people, and they all help him one way or the other, because he keeps his mantra going. And then gradually he comes to understand that he's meant for the highest realm in the spiritual world. Vraj Bhakti he's meant to have. He has already. It's just becoming more and more manifest by his mantra and his association. And then Narada Muni tells him, you go meet with Uddhava. He's the one for you. He's met with so many other advanced devotees, but say, here's your person. He knows everything. He's been with Krishna. He knows Raj Bhakti. He's been to Vrindavan. He knows what it is. You have to talk to him. He can absolutely clarify for you how to advance in that particular science. And that's by Krishna's arrangement. Shraddha and then Kanka.
So Maharaj, when you were answering Gandharika Mataji's question, there were two words that you used that struck my mind. One was self-effulgent, and the second one was alava matra sadhu sangha. So I just remembered that about 5-6 years ago, I was trying to organize a visit of Radhana Swami Maharaj to my company. And they were very, very strict. There were so many rules and regulations. And we had organized his talk in the gym. And I made several trips to the gym. And the guy at the reception in the gym was very, very particular. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. And this shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen. And I was very scared. And on the day when Maharaj arrived, so Maharaj entered and I was very, very scared. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. He's going to see, because there was dress code and all that stuff. And I was so amazed that as soon as Radhana Swami went up to the desk, this man just bends over like 90 degrees. That was effulgence, you know, effect of that. And then I was thinking, like, he had Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha.
Yeah. The atmosphere changes, and one can intuit, the soul goes, okay, we're in business here. This is something. It's not nothing. it's palpable. It's something you can experience. We had some instances where being in the airports, I practically grew up in an airport. Honestly speaking, I spent most of my life in the airport, which is good, because when I was a kid, I loved airports. I used to take my uncle Alex to the airport, and I was like, I want to go to the airport. I love the airport. It's like, Krish said, all right, you can live there. And so when we were distributing, and we were always distributing books, and then Prabhupada would come to a city, a lot of times we were lucky, we'd be in that city. Like, and I was there in D.C. when Prabhupada came in the airport. I was there in Chicago when he came in the airport. And different times. And Prabhupada's arrival into the airport, you know, everyone's, the devotees would come in. Back there, there's obviously pre-9/11. We could go anywhere and, you know, have kirtan and do whatever we wanted to greet Prabhupada. And then all the people in the airport would also be like, what's going on? And it's like, yeah, our guru's coming. And they'd be like, yeah, let's see this guru guy, you know? They're like, yeah, well, what's this guru thing, you know? What's all that? And they'd be kind of skeptical. Like, and then when Prabhupada would walk in, they would just melt. And we had an instance, I was there in Washington, D.C. with my godbrother, Pragosh. We worked together for a long time. And he had met this one military guy who had bought a Krishna book. And he was just telling him about the Krishna book, and he had purchased the book, and then he said, our spiritual master, the author, is coming in. And, you know, the guys just received the book and everything like that. And then all the devotees were waiting in anticipation. Prabhupada comes out from the gate right off the plane, and all the devotees fell down flat. And we looked over, and this guy was... And it wasn't something artificial. It wasn't calculated. It wasn't calculated. It just happened. And that's when there's advanced devotees, it just happens. You know, people become overwhelmed. They go, this is good. Whatever it is, it's good. I like it.
There were two texts. Also.
Yes, two texts.
So one is from Harivamsa Prabhu.
Harivamsa.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. I really like the point about striving to make inquiry really refined, as this directly relates how humbly we take shelter of the hearing process. I was just meditating on how in Krishna consciousness we have to make our approach, etiquettes, meditation, service attitude all really refined and keep refining it. Thank you again for reminding about this important yardstick.
Yeah, that Prabhupada mentions in that 434, he said that absurd inquiries are prohibited. Absurd inquiries. And it goes to Harivamsa Prabhu's point about refining the inquiry. One should not make absurd inquiries just for the sake of asking the spiritual master, you know, some question, any question. I know that there was a devotee in Japan asked Prabhupada. It was in a darshan. He was new. And I'm not going to say his name. But he asked Prabhupada, have you met Indra? You can hear it. It's on the tape. And Prabhupada said, what difference does it make to you if I met Indra? If I met Indra, I didn't meet Indra. How does it affect your spiritual advancement at all? And then, of course, Trivikram Maharaj was there, and he said, Indra would be lucky if he met Prabhupada. But there you could sense, oftentimes when people would ask things, that Prabhupada could sense that it was not based on a deep desire to advance in spiritual life. You know, sometimes you'd be asked inappropriate questions. Sometimes people would ask questions that were beyond their scope, instead of things that are practical, that came from realization. So there's a difference. If you're actually getting some realization about what I need, you have a spiritual hunger, what I need to advance, and just an intellectual inquiry, because sometimes people would ask, what about the gopis? And Prabhupada said, you can't ask about that. You haven't done the austerity to ask that kind of question to me. And who can? You know, only somebody who's fully dedicated their life and is getting realization. But even those devotees are very careful. You'll notice that when the discussion starts between these pure devotees, they say, how did this material cosmos come to be? They don't say, tell me about the gopis right now. They want to know. They for the sake of, in one place it says, for the sake of strictness, Sanatana Goswami inquired on basic things. For the sake of thoroughness, it says in another place that someone else inquired, starting with something that's like, this is my level. Sanatana Goswami comes in and says, I don't know anything. Everyone says I'm a pundit, but I don't know any. Who am I? There's a good place to start. Even though he's the most exalted and eternal associate of, and an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he starts off, who am I? I don't know who I am. I think I'm this, I'm that. I don't know. Not something. So this is refining the questions. You have to know also who you're inquiring from. I mean, even some people are more qualified to talk about certain things than others. Some people have looked at the science of Krishna consciousness from different angles of vision. Like we have, when Jyoti Karma was here, you know, there's certain ways of logic and things that you might ask him, appropriate things. There are other people who have cultivated other kinds of things that you may say, I know the kind of question to ask this person to get the fruit of whatever, not just me, but everyone else is looking for. So it's a science, it's an art, how to approach devotees and how to ask them in ways that will benefit oneself and everyone else. Okay, who is next? Yes, Kank, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Thank you very much for your class. It's been really inspiring. I feel very grateful to be here.
Kuchira koso. Same to you.
And the topic with Krishna in the forest, with his foot on his knee, and speaking to Uddhava, has always been my favorite part of the Bhagavatam. Mm. It's really amazing and very emotional, because it's a very emotional time for them. And I really like the part where you emphasized the importance that Vidura inquiring from Uddhava, but then had to go, and he said, better you go to Maitreya. And he referred him to Maitreya because he knew that his path was to go for what Krishna was instructing him on. But the Uddhava Gita is just, to me, a very amazing thing, and also these inquiries from Vidura. So thank you so much. And I like that part where you talked about how it comes down. Mm. And I was thinking of a waterfall. You know, you like to be at the bottom anyway, so it's so important to be.
Thank you very much for those points and for the way in which you delivered them. It's deeply moving. And just thinking about what you mentioned about the dynamic between Vidura and Uddhava, and then Vidura going to Maitreya, there is a system, a divine system, which is Krishna's system, to distribute himself, distribute knowledge of himself through his agents. That's why he says, approach a person in knowledge, a person who has imbibed Krishna consciousness. And it's his system. It's the way he distributes himself. And when one observes that carefully and properly, one finds that spiritual knowledge, as one of my godbrothers once put it, has its own agenda. there's a way in which we can't try to make, as in modern science, the knowledge subservient to us. We really do have to be submissive and go through the system that Krishna has put before us, because if we try to dominate, I mean, there's a way in which one can approach devotional service and I'm going to learn everything so that I can be in control. I'll be the man. And then again, you have this false ego coming in. And you really do have to be submissive and take the system that comes through. And the knowledge has its own agenda. It's non-different from Krishna. And it manifests accordingly, according to one's level of surrender in service. As one surrenders to me, Krishna says, Ye yata mam prapadyante, tams tataiva bhajamyaham, mama vart manuvartante, manusha parta sarvash. It's really that one has to consider, how much am I really surrendering to the process and to Krishna? And to that degree, Krishna reciprocates. Last points, yes. Prashant, in the back.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you very much for the lecture. There are many points actually I was able to relate to, but one particular point I was able to relate in many ways was where you drew the comparison between materialists and the spiritualists, right? That made a lot of sense to me, because from the earlier lectures that I also attended, right, what I learned is if you advance materially, right, there are chances that things may still go wrong. But if you advance spiritually, right, as we just heard from the verses you mentioned, that Krishna is like guaranteeing that, you know, I'll take care of you. So it's almost given that things won't go wrong if you try to take the spiritual path and advance. The second reason is the other verse you put it, right, it talks about real knowledge, right? So what happens in when you advance spiritually is you find peace within. And it how do you find peace within? When you try to pursue for the real knowledge. And that verse, the purport talks about how do you find real knowledge is when you serve the Lord, when you take to the devotional service. So it all like tied together. It made sense for me in a lot of ways. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Nice points. Yes. Yeah, we have about 3 minutes, so.
I'll be very quick. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the wonderful lecture. So it was a quick reflection and then a follow-up question. So I was able to relate a few things in the different sections we read today.
Like
this. First was Vidura Uvacha, the science of understanding Krishna. Science means based on logic, rationale, and reasoning. And that comes with questioning. And then Pariprashnina Sevaya, submissive inquiries. So I could relate to his one of the lectures, the Hindi lectures of Srila Prabhupada I was listening to some time ago, in which he was, as usually, very directive, instructing to his disciples. In Hindi, he was saying, Krishna ko taktik roop se samjho, means understand logically and reasonably as it is, and not just emotionally, because emotions may be superficial or temporary in nature, but if you have the firm conviction in the reasoning and the logic, that's the temporary, that's the permanent in nature, and that's how you will understand it the most. So that's how I was relating everything together today. The question today from my side is, sometimes I talk to devotees, very new people visiting to temple, and I encourage them to ask questions. And then they tell me, I'm just very new here, and I don't consider myself advanced enough to ask questions. So this shows like a chicken and egg situation, that either you have to be advanced first to ask question, or you first ask question and then become advanced. And then sometimes I find people very, they are kind of not confident enough to ask questions. And then they just stay quiet always.
So what's your question?
So my question is how to motivate the people and how should they ask the question?
Well, I think motivation might be a small part of it. You know, people may become motivated when they see your absorption in spiritual knowledge and your dedication to it. That may motivate them. But on the other side, from the side of a teacher, the teacher has to also see the qualification of people to ask questions. You have to judge. you know, you can understand by being around somebody, by some kind of interaction, watching their body language and so forth, where, you know, what level they're at and what kind of questions you can expect also. And no need to force people to ask absurd questions if they're not ready to ask. Oftentimes, in the right environment, good questions will come out from those who are actually sincere and who have some really strong desire to advance in spiritual life. Will ask good questions. Otherwise, questions can actually, you know, in a group, I've seen questions can, from the wrong person, can derail a perfectly good discussion and change the environment very drastically. So one has to be a little judicious in inviting everybody to ask questions a certain way. On the other hand, you never know. I mean, there can be somebody that look like this person doesn't look very interested or qualified or whatever. That's the mind. And then the person asks something very relevant and penetrating and important. And then you get to know people that way by the kinds of questions. You can tell how advanced somebody is by the quality of their questions. I met somebody recently who is just very new to Krishna consciousness. And the person was asking questions. I thought, this is somebody who's actually a seeker. They have some really detailed, interesting questions, and heartfelt also. And once you find that out, then you can see where to put your energy. And if people ask absurd questions, it's generally a turnoff. Yes, we have a couple from the internet. It's all right? Okay.
So there are two texts, Maharaj. One is a thank you, and the other one is a question. So the thank you first from Bhakta Sudeep Sabnes. He's traveling, actually. So he's thanking you for the wonderful lecture, and also wants to thank Ramananda Sakha Prabhu and Jack and I in the booth who are bringing this katha to him.
Brought to you today by Ramananda Sakha.
Starring. The second one is from Vaikunth Naik Prabhu from India.
Vaikunth Naik.
So, Dhanvads Maharaj, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
It's 10:30 at night there.
That's true, yeah. My takeaway point, depending on Krishna is real freedom. My question, how to develop that strong conviction that even if Krishna does something that is not per as my plans, it's for my ultimate good. I don't seem to have that strong sense of surrender. Your servant, Vaikunth Naik Das.
Best way is to observe Ekadashi. Because Ekadashi is the mother of devotion for those who respect her. She gives you a lot of mercy. And if you take Ekadashi seriously and try to show respect to that day, then she'll give you some special powers of perception and mercy. Om Tat Sat. Vancha Kalpadrubhishcha Kripasnabe Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Gopremanande Nitai Gora Haribo 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 Nitai Gora Haribo Nitai Gora Haribo Haribo Hari Bo Nitai Gora Hari Bo.
Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, hey, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.